Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 at verse 10. Man is a responsible being that must intelligently respond to the Lord's instruction. You see, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. And we observe that he requires man to obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Now, the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we pointed out the simplicity involved. Faith is required, except you believe that I am he, Jesus said, you'll die in your sins, John 8, 24. Oh, the only basis of my scriptural faith is the scripture. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. But what does the Scripture teach the believer to do? Oh, he must repent or perish, of course, Acts 17, verse 30. At the times of this ignorance, therefore, God overlooked. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Jesus died and was raised to make available to me salvation. That's the good news of human redemption. Now he requires that I obey this gospel. Oh, dead to the love and practice of sin, which takes place in faith and repentance. We are then buried with our Lord in baptism. Oh, and we are raised a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. Now, as simple as that process may sound, it is profound. You see, man in the world, as we pointed out, is without God and without hope. Ephesians 2 verse 12. Christ came to call men out of the lost state into the saved state. Thus you find in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, that the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So as we've often pointed out, there are two classes of responsible people, the lost and the saved. The world and the church. Came to call men out of the lost state, right, called out, ecclesia, translated church. So the Lord adds the saved to the church. Now, profound indeed, but let's see if we can better understand this. Someone says, but preacher, I'm a sinner. That's the kind of people the Lord came to save, seeking to save that which was lost. And sin separates man from God. So the Lord came to make available to a sinner such as I remission of my sins. When does that occur? Well, Peter preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2, did he not? The death, burial, resurrection of Christ. You're familiar with that. Oh, his auditors were cut to the heart. They believed what he said in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. They said, brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave the answer in verse 38. He said to these believers, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's unto the remission of your sins. Oh, then their sins were remitted when they obeyed the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Sure, they heard the truth and believed it. They turned away from the practice of sin in repentance, and they were buried with their Lord in baptism, raised new creatures in Christ. You know, we've brought up the fact that sometimes in our limited understanding, we say, well, I just can't live the Christian life. Wait a minute. The Lord added the saved to the church. That's correct. It's important, isn't it? You remember that statement that Paul made to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? He's talking about, of course, the withdrawal of fellowship, a final act of Christian discipline, always performed in love. A man had his father's wife. Purge out the old leaven, he said, that you may become a new lump, even as you are unleavened. If for our Passover hath been sacrificed, even Jesus. What is he saying? Our Passover. He's writing to the church. And you say, our Passover? Well, you remember, of course, Exodus chapter 12. Israel is in bondage in Egypt. Nine times God has struck the land of Egypt, devastated the Egyptians, but old Pharaoh's heart hardened. He doesn't intend to let Israel go. Now, God said, one plague more, he'll thrust you out with a mighty arm. But in chapter 12, he said to Moses, this will be the beginning of months unto you. On the 10th day of this first month, have the head of each house take a lamb 8 days to a year old, a male, without blemish, and put him up. On the 14th day of this month, slay that lamb. Now, you remember the story there. We've talked of this before. Now, he said, when you slay that lamb on the 14th day of this first month, take a bunch of hyssop, vegetation, dip it in the blood of the slain lamb, sprinkle it on the lintels and the doorposts of the houses where you are. Because God said, I'm coming through the land, and the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, and there are no exceptions, will die. Oh, that's Hebrew, Egyptian, every house in the land of Egypt. Right. But God said, when I see the blood in the houses where you are, I'll not permit the avenger to enter in. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, it's interesting. At night, at midnight, there was a cry arose in Egypt. In the house, every house, the firstborn of man and beast was dead. Not a single Israelite perished. Why? Well, they were in the house where the blood was on the lintels and the doorposts. No. Not based upon their righteousness per se. No. They're the children of God. Right. And there's every stage of development and growth and maturation. They're learning, and some are just plain rebellious. As a matter of fact, most of them had to get rid of their idol gods after they got into the wilderness. So they're not righteous people per se. No. They are the chosen people of God. And not a one of them perished. Right. Oh, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What was it Paul said to the church, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7? Oh, he said, our Passover hath been sacrificed, even Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it? When you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, you will observe that Paul had just said to Timothy, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or support of the truth. The church is the house of God? Right. Well, Jesus Christ is the door. You remember he made that statement, John chapter 10, verse 9. Oh, then if you are a student of the book, you know that the blood is on the door, chapter 20, verse 28. Well, then you should know that there's safety inside. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So then here is the security of the saints. We're in the body of Christ. Well, there's no question about that. Then what I need to do is just follow that 42nd verse of Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. Well, now somebody says, I can't do that perfectly. If you could do that perfectly, you wouldn't need him. We're sinners. Oh, Christianity is a matter of growth, maturation. Right. So then I need to read this book, The Last Will and Testament of Christ, on a regular basis. And conscientiously put it into practice. Now, each time I read it, I'll learn more. Ooh, then I can become more and more like Christ. As newborn babes, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Think about it. Newborn babes. Christianity is a matter of growth. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. You want to increase, strengthen your faith? Read this book on a regular basis, and I might add that without the reading of this book, you can't maintain a saving faith. It's simply out of the question. Jesus said, he that eateth not my flesh and drinketh not my blood hath not life in himself. John chapter 6 at verse 63. What is he talking about? Well, he said in verse 51, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven, of which a man may eat and live forever. Or the bread which I give is my flesh for the life of the world. What then is he teaching me here in John chapter 6? I am to ingest that which cost him his blood and his body. Where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death. For it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Hebrews 9, verses 16 and 17. So Christ validated this testament with his blood, his death on the cross. Right. What did he say? He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now that's verse 54. Then I'm to ingest the spiritual food. Right. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To the extent that I read and apply the principles in this book, I become more and more like Christ. Oh, but the important thing to remember is, while I am trying to be diligent in the pursuit of those things spiritual in nature, I'm secure. You see, I'm in the house where the blood is on the door, saved from the damning consequences of sin. Now, I need to understand that. Well, now someone says, preacher, you mean once saved, always? No, for a touch and those who were once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves afresh the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Oh, that's Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Anytime you want to, you are a responsible human being made in the image and the likeness of God. You're a creature of choice. Anytime you want to, you can turn your back on the Lord. And you don't have to wait till you get to judgment to be lost. You're lost right then. Well, let me tell you something else. Anytime you desire to do so, I don't care how sinful you've been, how deep into the muck and mire of immorality, ungodliness you may have sunk, anytime you turn your heart toward the Lord and by faith give your life in obedience to His will, friend, He'll save you. He came to save sinners. And there's not good sinners and bad sinners. Sin separates from God. And the remedy? The shed blood of His Son. Oh, He shed His blood to seal this covenant. Right. So then this good news, this gospel, is God's power to save. That's right. Now, we pointed out, did we not, that the decision to give my life to the Lord is mine. He does not force me. He does not put burdens upon me, or even in His providence. He doesn't direct me and point me. No. The only possibility of my proper relationship to the Lord is my application of this blood-sealed covenant, the instruction herein contained. So God's done everything within His power. He's done everything possible. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2, verse 11. That's done through instruction, of course. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. Oh, the instruction then is contained in the gospel. That's why the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, and that's why one must obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He yields his life to the Lord by faith. He becomes more and more like Christ as he obeys the instructions contained in this book. That's right. God has done everything He can do. God so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's so true. Do you believe? Then do what He said and receive the benefits predicated thereupon. It's just that simple. But let me further say this. God wants you to be saved. Friend, that's why He heard His Son cry out on that cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And He didn't relieve him. He didn't take him down from the cross. He didn't make his pain any less. No. He allowed him to suffer. Why? So that I, an unworthy sinner, could stand justified before Him in the final analysis. You see, God has done everything within His power to make salvation available to a responsible human being such as I. What am I going to do about it? Ignore it? Most people do. Most people pay no attention to what the Lord said. Oh, they just assume, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do this, and so I'm going to be saved. No. It doesn't work that way. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from sin. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, Hebrews 10:4. So we're talking about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, the only way to apply the blood of Christ is to obey this blood-sealed covenant. And God wants you to do that far beyond my own imagination or thought. There's no question. Seek ye Jehovah while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto God and He will have mercy. Oh, unto our Father He will abundantly pardon. That's Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. I remember that Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute. God is the Almighty, right? He is omnipotent. That is, he's all-powerful. That's correct. Well, why doesn't he just say, I'm going to save you? Whoa, 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 whoa. We've talked about this. You and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. We're free moral agents. We must decide. It's up to us. Now, it's available. God has done everything, as we said. No stone is left unturned. Everything essential to your salvation and mine is available. But I must make that decision. I must decide that I want to live with God eternally. I want to escape the horrible punishment of the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And friends, life isn't serious. I've often said, and probably will repeat, the Lord willing, life is deadly serious. We pass this way but once. We meet none coming back to right any wrongs or to correct any mistakes. And the Lord made it very clear in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The only thing important in this life is your relationship to God, because everything else will go by the board. You see, all of this is going to be burned up. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 10. So then, I must make the decision. God has done everything within His power. And we've already pointed out that Christ has done everything that can be done. Everything is in readiness. It awaits my decision. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Right? 2 Timothy, we've noted that. Chapter 1, verse 10, we've observed that. Oh, then, I need to make up my mind that I'm going to obey this gospel. Oh, yes, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mankind alienated from God. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised by the power of God to provide a means of my redemption. Now, there's one other thing that I need to mention. Friends, it is the easiest thing in the world to procrastinate, put off. Not just in spiritual things, but just being a human being living in this old world. There are duties and responsibilities. There are things to be done even on the farm. You know, you think, I got to get to that. It's easy to put off those things that's going to cause a little sweat. It's going to put you out and take your time, and I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get to that in a week or so. But in spiritual things, it is the easiest thing in the world to allow physical matters to intervene, to get in the way. Many people do that in every area of spiritual conduct. We allow the physical, the immediate, the mundane, the earthbound to limit our spiritual understanding. If we aren't careful, it's the easiest thing in the world to put off. I remember Felix. Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Paul, of course, is on trial, and Felix would call him in rather frequently. He wanted to hear what he had to say. And I remember here in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, that Paul is speaking to Felix, and he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Now, this man's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the record says Felix was terrified. Felix believed what Paul said. Felix was familiar with the Jewish law. Felix really deep down understood that God is. And he knew that what Paul was saying is vital to one's eternal well-being. Felix was terrified. You know what he said? He said, go thy way for now, Paul. When I have a convenient season, I'll call thee unto me. How many people today are looking for a convenient time to obey the Lord? Friend, it doesn't exist. Obedience to the Lord is removing oneself from the immediate, that which may be satisfying and pleasing to the flesh, and with focus, dedicating your life to the service of the Lord, spiritually following the instruction contained in this word. No, it's not natural. That's spiritual. The natural man, as we've said, receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So then, the natural man is concerned with the matters of the flesh, the immediate. He's governed by the physical senses. But I must be governed by a thus saith the Lord. That's spiritual. That's why the Lord described it as a narrow gate and a difficult way. Not that it's difficult to comprehend. It's difficult to do, because if we aren't careful living in this whole world, we allow Satan to distract us on every hand. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Satan is the god of this world. His resourcefulness is unlimited to place obstacles, barriers, difficulties, temptations, hardships before you. And the first thing you know, if you aren't careful, you have neglected things that are spiritual. It is dangerous indeed to procrastinate, to put off your attention to, obedience to, those things that are spiritual. I remember that Job said, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as grass and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." That's the way life is. It is amazing how rapidly the time flies. Man born of woman, few days and full of trouble. "My days," Job said, "are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, passes in a hurry." That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, "Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then you need to read the balance of chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, in very graphic, highly figurative language, describes the gradual decline and the ultimate demise of the human family, the human body. It is amazing. In verse 7 he said, "And the dust returneth to the earth as it was, but the spirit back to God who gave it." You and I will live forever. Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. What can I do in this world that has to do with the physical senses that will ensure my eternal well-being? Nothing. It's spiritual. Yes, we perform in this world, but we dedicate our lives to the service of the Lord. We follow the spiritual instruction contained in this book. Friend, when you read this book with an open mind, you'll be a believer. There's no question about it. Unless there's some unnatural situation, you must believe. Except you believe, you'll die in your sins. Oh, but when you read this book, you see the value of no longer walking in sin and error. You love the Lord and you want to be like Him. Repent. And then you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, Acts 8, verse 37. And then you are buried with your Lord in baptism, raised a new creation in Christ. When I remember that Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That takes place by faith in the act of baptism.